I love the title of the name of this first section. It says, "When we're between our rock and our hard place." But now God's message, the God who made you in the first place, Jacob, one who got you started, Israel, don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. I've called your name. You're mine. When you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in rock waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end. Because I am God, your personal God, the Holy of Israel, your Savior. I paid a huge price for you. All of Egypt, with rich Cush and Seba thrown in. That's how much you mean to me. That's how much I love you. I'd sell off the whole world to give you back, trade the creation just for you. So don't be afraid. I am with you. I'll round up all of your scattered children, pull them in from east and west. I'll send orders north and south. Send them back. Return my sons from distant lands, my daughters from faraway places. I want them back. Every last one who bears my name, every man, woman, and child who I created for my glory. Yes, personally formed and made each one. This is what God says, the God who builds a road right through the ocean, who carves a path through pounding waves, the God who summons horses and chariots and armies. They lie down and they can't get up. They're snuffed out like so many candles. Forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert. Be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It is bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert, rivers in the badlands. Wild animals will say, thank you, the coyotes and the buzzards, because I provided water in the desert, rivers through the sun-baked earth. Drink water for the people I chose, the people I made, especially for myself, a people custom made to praise me. And this is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. People of God have been away for a long time. They were in the exile. They're in Babylon. They've been there a while. It's not easy being away from the place where you worship, from the place that you're used to, from your surroundings. It's not easy being away. As a matter of fact, one of the songs said, how can I sing the songs of Zion in a foreign land? So it hasn't been easy for the people in captivity. But just at that moment of the greatest despair, or perhaps lethargy, and thinking it doesn't matter anymore, for at that moment, Isaiah steps forward with a word. And he says to the people, God is about to do a new thing. And they probably looked around and thought, okay, so I don't see any new thing. And I don't see anything on the horizon that looks like it's going to be a new thing. But as they listened to Isaiah, he began to explain. You know, you take great hope in what God did for you in the past. You know, the time he brought you to the Red Sea and brought you out of Egypt. You remember all those things? Well, forget that for a while. Forget it for a while. Because God is going to do something even greater than that. God is going to make a highway in a wilderness. He's going to provide streams of water in a desert. And he's going to quiet the coyotes and the jackals. He's going to make them happy. There's going to be complete safety on your return home. You'll be able to travel in peace, and you are going to make it home again. Behold, God is doing a new You know, when you're going through change or transition, it's rough. But what we need to remember is on the other side of change and on the other side of transitions, on the other side of stuff that we go through, is God's new thing. Because God is always at work for us to do it. And ultimately, things will lead to God's glorification, and things will lead us to a place of praise. You know, I'm reminded that this church has gone through many different building programs. I wasn't here when they started, obviously. But I was here when a really big thing happened here that was a change. I even remember sitting in the old library where we had our Council on Ministries meeting. We don't even call it that anymore. We just made changes. We're in a Council on Ministries meeting. We're talking about the things that were going on in our church. The cycle Bible study was exploding. There weren't enough room for Sunday school classes, Bible study. There was more and more people coming to the church. The services were crowded, and there was something that was going on. And I remember that night when Sandy Elmstead said, "I make a motion that we have a building program and that we expand everything around here so that we can better make disciples of Jesus Christ, so we'll have room for fellowship and for growth and for worship and all kinds of things." And of course, you know, most of us are thinking, that's a great motion. We're going to pay for all this stuff. Well, the motion passed, and one thing led to another, and we had that building expansion in 1996. And I remember one of the things in our discussion was the sanctuary over here, because some people said, "It looks so good the way it is, we're afraid that if we expand it, it's going to mess up its character." You know what makes it so special is that, well, first of all, it looks like a place of worship and holiness, and the ceiling is like unique. And will it lose that character when we expand it out? Well, we didn't know. But as we went through that, we were given the hope that we could maintain what had been good about that sanctuary, but add to it something that had never been there before. Trust me, said the architect and the contractors. And then, of course, the sanctuary was remodeled. The old chapel was taken out, but very small anyway. A new place was provided for a chapel. This is even better. We had these columns there. That was where the walls used to be. And we had more of a sense of community in there. And we also had an expanded altar up front. And then, as I sat in there one day, I recognized something new had come into existence. And it was capped off by the organ, the pipe organ. And as I sat there in the sanctuary and heard our organist begin to play the pipe organ, it was loud, it was beautiful, and praise filled that sanctuary. It was like the new thing that God does. Born out of the old, yet different, and leading to the praise of God. Well, I'm back in 1996, and here we go again. We're going to ultimately, Thursday, we'll have to do with our sanctuary. There'll be other places we'll be working on first. But again, we're going to go to that sanctuary, and trust me, you know, again, we're going to say things like, "I like the way it is," or so forth. And but listen, we're going through change, we're going through transition, and on the other side is a new thing that will ultimately lead to the praise of God. And so I have a lesson right there for myself, and hopefully for you, for our church, of how to handle the times of disruption, the times of change, and the times of transition. It's not just in times of building projects. It also has to do about the times in our life when we face transition. When we receive that call, way home. When we come to those times of transition, and there's a change in our health, there's a change that disrupts our life, there are other things that happen, and we need this message so that we might know that, yes, though we have those hard times, we are not without hope. What is our hope when we go through change in our lives and face challenges and transition? Our hope is in the God who is ever at work, and not just the God who worked back then, but the God of the present and the God of the future. Our hope is in a God who is ever at work for good in the world. And this hope is not something that's just going to be way out there, but this new thing is happening right now. This new thing happening right now is also not up to us. The good news about this. Matter of fact, God is going to do what we can't do. God is going to do something that we can't do, and when we have hope, we are made stronger than we have ever been before. When hope comes, we're made strong. And it's like the widow sitting there, the widow in worship, and it comes time for the offering. She puts in the widow's mite. She's able to do that because she's strong in hope. That she can trust God with everything she has. There's times in life when we need a hope that can embolden us like that. And I've seen it in the lives of people. I've seen it in the lives of people who go through hard times, but yet because they have hope in God, they are strengthened and made strong. We experience the loss of love. How do we go on? It's not easy. But we wake up the next day. And we arise to a new day of looking to God who gives us strength, gives us assurance. We may have to wait a minute, but we are people who are not defeated. Things are happening around us now in the world. They're not good. What are we going to do about it? Just sit and listen to the bad news all the time and get really depressed? You can't. You know, when I go into nursing homes and facilities and care facilities, hospitals, I feel like just going up, cutting off the TV. It goes all day long and all year. It's the same bad news over and over and over again. And I'm not trying to escape that. What I'm trying to do is say, we're supposed to be agents of new life in this world, not spectators to all the stuff that happens. I believe right now God is raising up leaders. We may not see that, but God is at work for good right now. God is raising up young people to make a difference in the world. God is doing new things to bring people together in ways they've never been brought together before. God is doing a new thing. And we may not be able to see it, but it's going on. And it is hope that makes us strong. So we believe in the God of life. L-I-F-E. One of my favorite scriptures is Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. I have used it for others. I have used it for myself. And perhaps you can use it as you face your time of change and transition. Or as we as a church go through a time of change and transition. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. faint and be weary. And your lungs will fall exhausted. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That is the word that we live by in times of change and transition and disruption. God is at work doing the thing we do not yet see. So the invitation to prayer is this. Don't be down. Be strengthened by me.